If you're able to find your seats, appreciate it. Welcome to all of you. God bless you and thank you for being with us again today. Such a blessing to have you with us. And we're excited for this morning. I'm excited for this message. We're going to get away from Galatians. Galatians is the letter, the book that we've been going through. But for this week, Thanksgiving week, I like to kind of focus in on Thanksgiving. And so I've selected Jonah chapter 2, and I've called it A Belly Full of Thanksgiving. You'll see why. And I want to start off with just reading. It's always good to start off reading the words of our Lord Jesus. But I want to have you pay special attention to the fact that Jonah, this prophet, what's called the minor prophets because the size of the book, not that he's less important than the major prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, so on and so forth. But because of the size of the book, this is one of the minor prophetic books. Jesus references this actual account. And again, notice, you will never hear me say story, because stories can be fiction, nonfiction. To me, this is a historical account. This actually happened back between 786 and 746 BC, before Christ. But yet Jesus, when he walked on earth, he refers to this account of Jonah. And he says this: "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Why do I start off with that? Jesus, God incarnate, the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is validating that this is an actual historical event. Jonah was a prophet, a man that was actually inside the belly of a whale or a great fish. So keep that in mind as we move forward today. Thanksgiving week, as I mentioned, is upon us, hard to believe. And we know it's a time where people all over the country will gather with friends and family, loved ones, to have a big dinner, turkey dinner probably, some pumpkin pie, maybe watch some football, and just enjoy one another's company and be thankful. An unfortunate truth that is, as Christians, we do not always have an attitude of gratitude. Although we live in one of the wealthiest, most affluent countries in the world, we at times lose sight of all that we have to be thankful for. Jonah was commissioned by God to preach repentance to the Ninevites, a people of Assyria who were the archenemies of the Israelites, and eventually overtook, captured Israel, a city of about 120,000 was Nineveh. And Jonah, when given the call or the commission, went in the opposite direction, literally, only to confess and then be thrown overboard as he sought to go to Tarshish. He was the reason for this great storm. The crew realized that, tossed him over into this raging tempest, this storm. And God prepared, as it says in Jonah, a great fish to swallow Jonah whole. And in this pit, he would reflect, repent, and have a voice of thanksgiving. When all looks hopeless and dark, no end in sight, when we're in a pit, so to speak, that is the very time we often to cry out to God with a voice of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open up your word and to reflect this week on thanksgiving. Being thankful in all things, all circumstances, for you are good, you do not change, you are worthy to be praised. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name, and all of God's family said, amen and amen. Thank you so much. Picking up in verse 1 of Jonah chapter 2, it's only four chapters. And I'll just read the last verse of chapter 1 because I think it's appropriate. It says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish." Notice Jesus said whale. Jonah, in the book of Jonah, says prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. There specifically where the reference is, as I mentioned earlier, from Matthew 12:40, that Jesus referenced. Verse 1 of chapter 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Then Jonah prayed. Jonah was running, as mentioned, from something God had called him to do, go and preach repentance. That's the exact reason why he's in the belly of the fish in chapter 2. God is patient, long-suffering. He also knows how to chasten or discipline those he loves. I like to say this, God gets what God wants. God gets what God wants. God is sovereign. That's been my new phrase that I've held on to recently. I've realized that the older I get, the more I realize the sovereignty of God. God is in control of all things. What God wants, God gets. He's going to get it one way or the other. And in this specific case, it was a reluctant prophet that was given an assignment, and he went completely in the opposite direction. So what did Jonah decide to do? Pray. It's a good idea, but often, as I mentioned, we have to be in a dark place for that to happen. It says, then Jonah prayed. You ever have an issue or a problem, and the last thing you do is pray? Something as simple as a lost wallet or car keys, as I'm sure my children are laughing because that's often the case with me. Then you pray. And all of a sudden, you find the missing item on top of a refrigerator under a pillow cushion. I mean, the Lord wants you to pray in all circumstances for all things. Psalm 138:3 says, in the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. We easily forget that we have access to God 24/7. He does not sleep. He does not take any breaks. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You want a power combination? Prayer and thanksgiving. That's a powerful combination. Prayer and thanksgiving. So Jonah's in the belly of the whale or the fish, and it says in verse 2, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. He's now in a place, none of us, I don't think, have been in the belly of a great fish or whale, have we? But spiritually speaking, some of you have. I'm learning that. The more I get to know the people of this home, this family called Spencerport Bible Church, the more I'm realizing that some of you have actually been, spiritually speaking, you could relate in some way. No, you haven't physically been inside the belly of a fish, but you've been in some really, really dark places. And you've prayed, and God has heard your prayer, and He's delivered you. And God still hears your prayer. It says in the Psalms, the psalmist says, you inclined your ear unto me. Isn't that beautiful that God's ear is there, bent down, listening? I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. And out of the belly of hell, some versions say Sheol, but it's a very dark place. Now, I don't believe, neither do other Bible teachers, pastors believe, that he literally went down into hell. No. But how would you feel in his situation? Again, some of you have been rescued several times from the brink of death. Amen. Some of you have been in situations no one in this fellowship could possibly imagine. And you prayed by reason of your affliction, and God heard you. But let it not be the case for us to be in such a dark place to pray with a voice of thanksgiving unto our Lord. That's why, you know, I told you, this week for me is, this is my big holiday. Say, what do? Nothing. I do what I do every day, except for Thursday I'll probably have a great time, you know, eating some turkey that I didn't cook, stuffing and mashed potatoes and all those wonderful foods, watch some football, maybe play some board games, hang out with family and friends. That's why I love it. It's not complicated. Amen. But it doesn't have to be once a year. It doesn't have to be just Thursday. It should be every day as a Christian. We have so, so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. Let it not be that when we're in our darkest place, that's when you're going to see Jonah remembers the Lord. We should remember the Lord every day. When we wake up, God, thank you for giving me breath. It's because of your mercy that I'm not consumed. Just a thankful heart. And you know what happens? Thankfulness is contagious. When you start to be thankful, it will spread to your family members. When I pray, even if it's for a very short period of time with my family, if any of my younger ones pray, I've noticed that some of them start off their prayer with thankfulness. And perhaps that was modeled, and I praise God for that. But thankfulness is it's contagious, just like unthankfulness. Unthankfulness is one of the signs of the last days, is that people will be unthankful. Do we not see that? Hey, Merry Christmas, get out of my way. Doesn't work like that. That's Antichrist. Slow down. Be long-suffering. Be patient. Love one another. As Christ has loved us. Jonah's in this dark pit, this dark place. It says in verse 3, "For you have cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I'm cast out of your sight." That's how we felt, at least. He's quoting the Psalms here, which tells you Jonah knew the Scriptures. He was a prophet of God. It says, "I'm cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." The darkest and loneliest places, God will hear you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." What is God's will for your life? Pray and be thankful. It's not that hard. What is God's will for your life? Pray and be thankful. I'll tell you that that's what God's word says. Don't complicate the simplicity that's in Christ. I told you that's a winning combination. Prayer with thanksgiving, it revives you, gives you hope. All circumstances. Question, and I really mean this, have you ever thanked God for the car breaking down? How about the washer, dryer, dishwasher? Ever thank God for being let go from a job rather than complaining about it and having a pity party? Thanking God at what the time seems counterintuitive to you in your natural mind, but God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. A good measuring stick of your growth and maturity in Christ is thanking Him always, all circumstances. Jesus said even the tax collectors love their own. Easy to be thankful when all is well, all is peaceful. But how about when you feel like you're in the belly of a whale? Not so easy. Then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. Then he remembered the Lord. It says, "I'm cast out of your sight, yet I'll look again to your holy temple." Adjust your spiritual eyes. Look up to Jesus. Look around. The fields are white for the harvest. What do you see when you look around? You know, the temple was obviously important to Jonah. I'm not sure how important it is to the current church anymore, and I say that including myself. And you know one of the great things about being the pastor of a church? I have to be here. And I don't say that tongue-in-cheek. I have to be here. I love that. I don't have a choice. Not only do I have to be here, I have to be here on time. And I'm early. Accountability took it out of my mouth, Tracy. I have to, and I love that. But what has happened now if Jonah says in the belly of a whale, "Hey, I feel like I've lost sight. I'm going to look toward your holy temple." What does that say? I want to read to you some things. Do you know when you realize most that many professing Christians do not attend church or have a home church? When you're pastoring a church. That's when you realize it the most. I'll read some statistics to you. 44% of Protestants and non-denominational Christians attend services at least monthly. That's less than half, by the way. While a recent American Bible Society survey found nearly half of all U.S. Christians did not attend church in the past 6 months. Wait a minute, excuse me? Let me read that again. Half of all U.S. Christians did not attend church in the past 6 months. That's a sobering statistic. Self-reported attendance figures are often higher than actual attendance, with some real-world data suggesting only around 20% attend weekly, 1 out of 5 Christians. We have demonstrated church gatherings, church functions, to be kind of like pumpkin pie. You can have a slice if you want to, but you don't have to. But that wasn't Jonah's attitude toward the temple. When he was in his darkest place, he thought, "Hey, I feel like I've lost sight of you. I'm going to look again toward your holy temple." And I'm not being legalistic. I'm being honest with you. And when I say that I'm happy to pastor, I really mean that, because when I wasn't pastoring church, it was way easier for my flesh to be like, ah, we don't have to go to church. Let's watch it online. Now, online's a great thing. There's people that watch online. I found out recently more than I thought watch it online. Some people want to be here so bad and they can't. They're not physically able to. So praise God for that, for technology in that way. But how about, what's your reason or what's your excuse for not coming to church? Or not going to prayer? Or not going to a Christian? It doesn't have to be here. How about the ladies' breakfast? How about anything that involves being around like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ? We've made it optional. I mean, just think about this. Now, we'll get to what Jonah calls a worthless idol momentarily, but there's really only one day left on Satan's dartboard, and that's Sunday, and we're losing it. We're losing it. I mean, just think about this for a minute. Golf, I put that to indict myself first, okay? Golf, hunting, fishing, camping, sporting events. There's no respect for church for the things of God anymore, even on Sundays. Are you surprised? Are you surprised that Islam is in the news so much? Question, church, why are you surprised? The church is losing. Why are you surprised? It's something to think about. It's something to be challenged by. Again, not to be legalistic. I understand both sides of the coin. But it's something to really think about. But if you're surprised about what's going on with the political arena, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. I've been to Dearborn, Michigan on missions back in 2012. You shouldn't be surprised. And the more we sleep, the more Satan starts to rear his head in this country. And before you know it, there's a completely different religion that permeates our country. There's a reason. There's a reason why Muslim Americans won in the 2025 elections. There's a reason for that. From mayors to council members, 42 Muslim Americans win historic 2025 elections across 9 U.S. states, including New York, Michigan, Maryland, Virginia, and Ohio. Welcome to the United States of Yemen. And I'm not joking with you. And listen, you say, you sound like a racist. Will you stop, please? See, that's how Satan gets you, to be a coward, to not speak the truth in love, to just be blind to what's going on around you and not understand or recognize the times. I love Islam. When I went to Dearborn, I went in a spirit of truth and also love. You could preach the truth in love. You're still going to be hated. But you need to understand what's going on, just like Jonah understood the position he was in. He understood his predicament. Verse 5, he says, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. And I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. You know, I taught this in a different way at Lakeview Friday, but that word corruption just jumps out at me. There's so much, at least in the present term meaning of corruption. There's so much corruption around us. We have to be able to make sure that we're walking in the truth and we're walking in the light with one another, that we're not being spotted by the world, that we're not being corrupted, we're not compromising who we are in Christ. And that's what happens. We come up with terms. Islamophobia. Homophobia. That's not biblical, by the way. You realize it, right? That's what the culture makes up so that you can be scared. Phobia. Oh, you have a fear of Muslims. No, I have a fear of God. You have a fear of LGBT community. No, I have a fear of the Almighty God, and that's what's been lost in the church. Because God loves everyone. Well, he does to some degree. But the Word of God also says that the people he loves are separated from him because of the rejection of the messenger of God, not Muhammad, but Jesus the Christ. For Islam doesn't believe that Christ was crucified on the cross. Do you know that? If you don't, you should, Christian. They hate the cross. Anybody who is against Christ hates the cross of Christ. Why? Because it eliminates them. It eliminates any work of man, any tactic, any religious system, any requirement for 5 times of prayer a day, any requirement for tithing and fasting. It eliminates all of it. The work's been done by the Christ. You need to know that. You need to know that as the times are changing. You need to understand, have a basic understanding of what these other false religions believe. Verse 7 says, when my soul fainted within me. Some translations say, as my life was slipping away. That's what was happening. Jonah, probably not much longer, he felt to live. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came into you, into your holy temple. There's the holy temple again. Verse 8 is very telling. Telling, but there's a little ambiguity with it because we're not sure what lying vanity or worthless idol he's talking about. But he says in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities, that's worthless idols, they abandon, they forsake their own mercy. It's very telling there. What was the idol? What was the idol of Jonah? Well, a worthless idol is anything which turns our heart from God and makes us run away from him. In Jonah's case, it was himself. He got the assignment. He hated the Ninevites because they did not like the Israelites. He was self-focused. So he was going to be rebellious, going directly against God. We are forsaking or abandoning the mercy of God when we do this. Self-service is no service unto God. Rebellion and stubbornness is as witchcraft, the scriptures say. Self-service is no service unto God. And the reason he realized that he indeed was an idol, his own life, is because God told him specifically, go arise and preach repentance to who? To the Muslims, to the Ninevites that don't know their right hand from their left. They don't know the truth. And I'm full of mercy and compassion and long-suffering. So go to them and tell them the truth whether they hate you or not. That's the responsibility of every Christian. Not pastor, not evangelist, not missionary. That's your calling. God is calling you to deliver the message to the Muslims. He's calling you to deliver the message to a lost and dying world. Amen. That's what Jonah didn't want to do. Why? Because he didn't like them. He hated them. And he had good reason to, by the way. How are the Christians in Nigeria still able to preach the gospel to those that are beheading them? Only God. Only the Holy Spirit. You must ask. You must pray. You must adjust your spiritual sight on what your priorities are, and so must I. How much time are we wasting on worthless idols? How much time, myself included, how much time are we wasting as we watch things go on and we're like, oh well, God is sovereign. But also, God gives us a responsibility to work within his plan, to work within that sovereignty. God calls us to move. Don't be a sovereign slouch. We have a responsibility like Jonah did. He says in verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That also means praise. I will pay what I have vowed. I will pay what I have vowed. Now listen to this next portion of the verse. I love this. Salvation is of or from the Lord. He realizes it. You know what? You're the only one that could save me, God. I'm stuck. You're the only one that could save me, and that's true for anybody on this earth today. Salvation is of the Lord. Sacrifice to God. What sacrifice will you make in service, giving and fasting unto the Lord with a voice of thanksgiving? By the way, your voice matters. John the Baptist was called a voice crying in the wilderness. What was he crying? Repent. He was crying, repent. Have a change of mind, have a change of heart, go in the other direction. That's what Jonah was doing now. He was repenting. He was confessing his sin. And if you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin, Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth, Numbers 30, verse 2. Be careful if you make a vow unto the Lord. My recommendation is don't. Do not do it. But if you do, you ought to keep it. Jesus said this, again, you have heard that it was said of those, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no, yea or nay. Anything more than this comes from evil. That's New Testament. Jonah was going to fulfill his vow. He was going to give honor and praise to God. And he realized in the pit. I said this Friday, you know what a pit is? Somebody told me this, I'll never forget it, years ago. Somebody told me, you know what? I said, you're in a pit. I said, what do you mean? Do you know what a pit is? He goes, no. He says, preacher in training. Well, I'm going to give it in a new way too. You're a person in training. Amen. You're training. You're preparing for the kingdom age. You're preparing for the kingdom of heaven. While you're here, the Apostle Paul uses illustrations like athletes, farmers, and soldiers to get his point across. All an athlete, a farmer, and a soldier, you know what they all have in common? They work hard. They work hard for the things that matter. They train to win the prize. They plow to get the crop. They don't get entangled with the affairs of this life as a soldier so he can please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Work hard. Be diligent for the things of God. Deny yourself. Can I tell you this? Again, this is from here, from this lens. I usually, my flesh, I don't want to go to prayer once a month at 7 a.m. I'm being honest with you. I don't want to go to prayer. I don't want to go to Lakeview sometimes. I don't want to go to Monroe Avenue sometimes. Believe it or not, I don't want to go to Kenyon. When I'm there, I'm saying, God, can I go home? And I'm being candid with you. You say, well, why do you go? Because God said, arise and go and preach the gospel to these people. Why? They can't discern their right and their left hand. That's why you go. That's the heart of God. Do we understand this? I think we're starting to get it. I really do. You say, how can you say it? I see it. I see it in you. I hear it. I see what's happening here. I see a heart of the Father that's being given to this church. And it's a blessing to watch it because no man can do it. Why? Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. But listen, if you let your flesh win, you know what you'll do for God? Nothing. You'll sleep a lot. You'll be in a lot of deer stands. You'll tee off. Maybe you get a lower handicap. You'll be great at everything else. But the things that matter, not so much. Just something to think about. As we move forward into 2026. Now, that's not condemnation. If it's Holy Spirit conviction, praise God. But maybe God's calling you. Maybe you're a Jonah in here. Maybe you're a Jonah, and God has told you, arise, go, and preach to the Ninevites, to a certain group of people. Maybe God has told you. How many times do you have to hear? You know, Friday, I was telling my wife, I heard something three times within, like, the same thing. I'm not going to tell you what it is, personal, but, like, man. In fact, the second time, when I was sitting down, in Shake Shack, is that the name of the new place? Great Shack Burger, by the way. Lord, I shouldn't have brought up the burger. That's the, okay, number two. I'm done. Never will I bring batteries, but I pray, Lord, let me not be a clanging cymbal. But as I was sitting there, and I heard this thing, very important thing, twice, I'm sitting and I'm literally praying in my mind as I'm talking to a pastor's wife who was there with her family, and I'm saying, Lord, if I hear this again, well, it's got to be you. And then the Lord reminded me, I already heard it a third time earlier. You see, if you're not going to listen, then you may end up in a similar position to Jonah. If you are not going to listen, then you may end up in some position, at least you can relate to Jonah. You know why? God gets what God wants. God gets what God wants. God is sovereign. And if you're not going to move, you know what it'll do sometime? Throw you overboard. Put a little storm in your life. Better to be. Listen, I heard an evangelist say this years ago. I heard an evangelist say this. I'd rather die in the will of God than live outside of it. I would rather die in the will of God than live outside of it. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, if you would, as we get prepared to close here, because there's only one verse left. Look what happens. It says, and the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. What did it take? What did it take? Repentance, confession, thanksgiving, to be in a place where it felt his life was slipping away, to where he was in a dark pit, felt like he was in hell. God says, okay, give you a second chance. Here you go. It says this, 3:1, and the word of the Lord came again unto Jonah the second time. How about this? Put your name in there. And the Lord came unto so-and-so. How many times? 100 times? 200 times? How many times has he spoken something to you and you said, no, God, I'm not going to do it? Why? Because your idol is yourself. You don't want to deny self. You don't want to go to the Ninevites. You want to go in your own way. You want to be on the my way highway, and you die on that path. Live. Live for Christ. It's the only way. It's the only way. And our lives are hidden in Christ. Here's the gospel. Jesus said, anyone who loses his life shall find it. He said, set your affections, set your sights toward the holy temple. Set your affections on things above, not here below. Live eternally, not for the temporal. I'm going to end with this. Some of you, maybe you feel a little shaken today. Praise God for that. God's word is like a hammer. But I want to end with a beautiful assurance from our beautiful God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says this, in whom also we trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed. Now listen to this. After you believed. What did you believe? The gospel, the word of truth. After you believed, you were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise. My friend today, listen to me. You are born once physically, then you are born again. If you are born again, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. According to God's word, you cannot lose your salvation. God is sovereign. He has sealed you. That means to protect you, to authorize you, to authenticate you. You belong to Him. What will pluck you out of His hand? Nothing. You have security in Christ Jesus. Even in the belly of a whale, Jonah belonged to the Almighty God. And you do too. Don't let anybody lie to you about that. What a terrible place to be. In and out of self. Oh, you did something wrong. You're not saved anymore. You weren't living right. You're not saved anymore. Listen, you want to know if someone's truly saved? Look for the fruit of the Spirit. Watch them live. Listen to them speak. God knows those that are His. Please, I pray that you have peace of mind today. Gird up the loins of your mind, it says in Ephesians 6. Don't let somebody rip you off with some theology that's just not true. There's some God that's not His character. He's long-suffering. He's compassionate. He's loving. And He even loves those, listen, He even loves those that hate Him. That's why He commissions Jonas. That's why He sends you places you don't want to go. I'll end with this. He said to Peter, Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go. You did what you wanted to do. Remember those, all the fishing, time fishing trips? Remember that? But when you're old, someone else, meaning him, meaning God, will carry you to places you don't want to go, like Nineveh. You know what the difference is? Child, man. Little girl, woman. Disciple, apostle. No Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And I see this church and this congregation maturing. I really do. I don't voice it to you because I don't know that I should, but I'm going to right now publicly. I see this congregation, this little, I see it. I hear it, and it's a blessing. And I pray it continues. God is on your side. He has saved you, and he has sealed you. You belong to him. You belong to the Almighty God. And the best, not your best life now, the best is yet to come. Set your eyes upon Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this time. Father, we ask that we would be a people that are zealous of good works. Ask that we would be a holy people, starting with me. Lord, you know my struggles, my blind spots, the areas in which I still need growth. Forgive me. Forgive me because I am still a prideful man, Father. Help us to be a people of humility, clothed with humility, walking in the grace and the knowledge of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we will give you. We will give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We love you. We thank you. And I just pray a blessing over this entire congregation, whether here in person or watching online. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all together we said, amen. Thank you.